The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented. Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. So glad that you have joined me as always. America is physically dying. Sure, it feels that way to a lot of you because it died spiritually. And I think that's the biggest problem of all. How long can America last when MAGA, which is the Make America Great Again movement, why would anyone be against making America great? But the Democrats are. And the Christians as well are being kept away. So how long can America last? They've been pushed aside and really don't have much influence other than a few Supreme Court rulings, but we know the left will just ignore these Supreme Court rulings. These Supreme Court rulings, it's weird. Some of them conservatives have been waiting for their whole life, and they're happening at the very time that the left is completely destroying America. So it's like, why are we getting these rulings now? When our government has basically been overthrown and they're just going to ignore most of what is being ruled anyways. So Christians should take a lot of the blame. America's downfall is because I truly believe God has removed his hand from America, his blessings from America. I believe all the blessings God had given America from the past, we're still living off of. We are living off the remnants of the great blessings that God gave America, mostly for the Christian and spiritual work that Christians did. America, for a very long time, has been a place where it has done great evil and great good. And the reason why, you think, well, wait a minute. If America did the most good in the world, you could also maybe point, especially now as America's sins are being revealed, right now, America does the most evil in the world. The most evil. Yet, it's done the most good. And it still has some of the people called Christians, true Christians, not fake Christians, but true Christians who have done the great good. So we're living off the remnant of the past Christians, but the ones that still live now, we've gotten less and less, or really less and less influence on America's culture. And America's Christian culture or Judeo values, the values it was all based on, has been chipped away, chipped away, chipped away. The left doesn't argue on how to implement those values and say, no, this is how you implement our American and Christian values. We implement it this way, and you implement it that way. They used to pretend that that's what they were doing, but they were always trying to destroy America. I'm talking about like when they would argue for welfare or something. A lot of times the Democrat Party would try to act like, well, this is trying to be like the Christian values of taking care of the poor. They really, that was a lie. They just wanted to redistribute the wealth, take from the rich, give to the poor, because it's not the government's role to do that. In Christianity, if you are forced to give, and that's by taxation or the government doing it, you get no credit for it. You have to choose to do it. So it's not Christian to have the government take from the rich and give to the poor. That's not Christian at all. That's totalitarianism. Christians have to give of their own heart. And so what Christians would argue at that time back then when we were having those arguments is you've got to give from your heart and you don't have the government get involved. You have charities take care of the poor. You let the church take care of the poor. But as the government put in government programs, it pushed the church out from its own calling. Just like churches used to do all the adoption stuff and feed the homeless. When the government started taking over adoption agencies, taking over feeding the homeless and creating their own homeless shelters, they pushed the Christian ministry out. And then the Christians ministering to these people and getting these people saved was long gone. And that was really what the Democrats were trying to do. Stop the Christians from being able to evangelize. had nothing to do with it. But at least they disguised it as, we have Christian values to take care of the poor. Now they don't even disguise that they have any Christian values. Now it's, we hate Christians. We hate their values. We love the LGBTQ community. That's our values. And we know the Bible condemns homosexuality, so we condemn the Bible. And we think the Bible is full of hate speech, and we think Christians are hateful, evil people. That's the left today. But how'd we get there? We got there because we didn't stand up as Christians and fight and be strong. I want to say something to the Christians out there that still aren't very political. There's many pastors that don't think that they should be political. No, I am here just to serve God and to be religious, and I should never be political. That's a bunch of crap. The only reason why you have the freedom to say that is because the Christians that came before you in America were extremely political and gave you that freedom. Do you not know that, pastors? The ones that stood there and said, I don't have to be. You know why you didn't have to be political? Because the people who came before you were so political as pastors that helped cause the Revolutionary War, pastors did. They were so political, fought for Christian freedom. You became so free, you were spoiled. And you didn't think you had to fight for your freedoms, and you don't have to be involved to stand for your Christian beliefs and freedoms because you already had them. Do you not want to admit at this moment, as you should, that you were wrong to have the stance, I don't have to be politically involved because I already have the freedoms from other Christians in the past? You had to be involved to sustain your Christian freedoms, and because you did not be involved and you refused to be involved, and most of the church did, and refused to condemn what the Democrat Party is doing because they didn't want to be political. I can't name the Democrat Party as pure evil, which they should have been doing. We would have sustained our values, but the pastors abandoned sustaining Christian values, didn't care about their flock's freedom, and said, I can be neutral and watch all your freedoms go away. And then I would scratch my head and say, wow, what's happening to America and its freedoms? I can't believe this. You did it by not being involved and thinking that you don't have to be. Of course, you have to fight for what is good and what is right and stand for it. What's the point of verbally saying something if you're not willing to back it up with your actions? As a pastor, you are also an American citizen. Therefore, you're the government, whether you like it or not. You can't not be part of the government. We, the people, were designed to be the government, and you can say, I'm not political. Well, whether you like it or not, if you choose not to vote, you've made a political choice. If you choose to vote, you make a political choice. But you not guiding your flock into condemning the evil party that was trying to destroy Christianity from its conception, if you weren't able to stand against them, don't be surprised as that very political party that you acted like was just you could be neutral with them and be friends with them, don't be surprised as they come and destroy you. Like during COVID-19, as they arrested pastors, the Democrat governors did that. They arrested pastors, and they will do it in the future because you befriended evil. You befriended evil and acted like evil was neutral with good. Don't think you're innocent. I attack pastors quite a bit because not enough Americans do. Not enough people feel that they have the moral standing to be able to tell a pastor what is right and what is wrong. And of course, I have a platform where I don't know what pastor I'm talking to. In a personal conversation with the pastor, I would be very cordial, very polite, and very respectful because they deserve that. But in this platform, I understand that God puts me here, that there are pastors that watch me, and they know they need to be slapped sometimes to wake up. Wake up. That's what I'm for. That's my calling. I have not been called to be a pastor. I really had a Damascus moment where I was called back into radio after I was left, where I had to make a choice and abandon my job with no job, all security, leave, and just trust that God's calling me back into radio. I had that type of moment. I won't go deep into it. I'm just letting you know I was called to do what I'm doing in broadcasting. And it's not just for waking up pastors and Christians. It's to give wisdom and wake up as many people as I can who are on the side of good. And when I first started, I was trying to convince people it was a fight between good and evil. That was very hard. People were just saying, oh, it's Republican, Democrat. I was trying to wake people up years and years ago. Now it's very easy to wake people up about that. But I've realized, you know who's the last to wake up about this? Pastors. Which is very frustrating to me. Pastors should be leading the way. A pastor should be more outspoken than me. I'm doing the job of a pastor to a lot of people out there, and they know that. And I'm not a pastor. Well, that's pretty sad that I have to step up in place of what a pastor should be doing. And that's not a joke. People watch this video because they're not getting the truth from their pastor like they should, especially in this day and age. Of course, there are good pastors that are giving the truth. There were pastors that got arrested because they truly did stand up. They understood what they were supposed to do. They understand their heritage. They understand the pastors that came before them in America that gave them that freedom. And they weren't about to be the pastor that let all those other pastors that did all of that just go to waste. They were going to stand for the Christian values and the freedoms given to them to have their Christian beliefs in America. They stood up and even went to jail for it. And 95% of pastors should have stood up and said, I'll go to jail before I close my church due to your stinking pandemic. I expected 95%, because there's always a remnant that won't do it. I don't expect 100%, but I do expect, if you're a pastor, 95% of you to do that, and you didn't. 1%? 3%? At the most, 5%. Do you know how pitiful that is? Sometimes, pastors, you get too much praise, where you're used to, you do a good sermon, you get patted on the back, but you don't follow your own words, and no one calls you out. No one says, Pastor, are you practicing what you're preaching, though? You're giving a great sermon. But look it, you cowered in fear. You didn't believe God was big enough. God couldn't take care of your church. The government's coming for you. God's not big enough to do that. How about when the government threatens you with taxes, where they say you can't condemn the Democrat Party or we'll remove your tax exemption status, and you couldn't stand up and say, that's fine, God's big enough to where money can come in to where we would pay our taxes. Fine, we'll pay taxes. But you didn't think God was big enough to do that. You allowed money and the fear of not having enough money cause you to be politically neutral, which is what the Democrats wanted the whole time. Because now they have been able to destroy America. And they are. Because we spiritually died. And who has to take the number one blame for the spiritual death of America? Pastors have to. How can most Christians say, yeah, Ben's right. I mean, America kind of just spiritually died, and wicked and evilness has just flourished in America. Not righteousness, not godliness, not revivals. Even the ones that you're seeing now are not revivals in the way that some people think. It is Christians who are already Christians having a revival and becoming stronger Christians. That truly is happening. That is happening right now. But there's still a massive falling away at the same time. The weak Christians or fake Christians are falling away in mass. The true Christians are getting stronger. And some people think a revival's happening. There is within people who are already Christian. But what America needs is non-Christians to change their life and get saved, to win the hearts and minds of people who are actually your enemy. That's how you have to save America. Having a revival just within the people who are already Christian is not what's going to save America. It's only going to prepare us to look for God and say, God, protect us, as this wicked, evil nation is going to be judged by you. We're going to get right with you so that you protect us while you hammer them. And I think that's coming. I think a purging of America is coming at the hands of our enemy. And it's going to purge America of the wicked and evil that is in America, mostly called the Democrat Party. And God's going to purge it by the very people they got in bed with, Russia and China, and selling out our country to the globalists who are going to slaughter America or at least destroy it. And even if it's not a physical, the globalists will still destroy America and push it into a one-world government, which I think they're physically going to destroy it. But that doesn't mean there isn't hope. God can protect his own. God could pull his own out if he wants to. I don't know if that will happen. He doesn't have to, though. He can keep us safe through it. And I think those who are watching, those who are listening, those who are standing up, they will be protected, and God's hand will be on them as individuals. Not only do I think that God's hand has been removed from America and we're living off of his past blessings and we're on our own, I also believe the churches has had God's hand removed off of them as well, because judgment is coming and he's saying it doesn't matter anymore. My judgment is coming. And I think that's why pastors didn't take a strong stand, because God isn't even pushing it in their heart for them to do so. He wants them to do so, but I don't think he's pushing hard. He's thinking, it doesn't matter. My judgment's coming, so it doesn't matter that you're being wimpy. I don't want you to be wimpy, but I'm not going to go crazy about it because it doesn't matter. My judgment's coming. That's what I think is happening. And I think pastors aren't going to be very convicted. And I think most pastors that see this video will actually get angry with me. But I think good pastors, and there's plenty of them that watch this, will understand what I'm really doing. I'm helping you. You need help sometimes. You don't get to turn to people. Everyone turns to you. No one ever helps you with wisdom and psychology. No one ever does it. I'm doing it with a broad brush for the pastors of America, and I think you need it. And I think there are lots of pastors that will love me for it. In fact, I think more pastors will love me because they understand constructive criticism for what I'm doing, because so many people are afraid to even do it. And you do have to be careful. Touch not God's anointed. But I'm not specifically touching God's anointed. I'm not naming any names. And I don't know who I'm talking to. So I'm letting God handle that. Therefore, I know I'm within the realm of doing what is right and just, even though I'm being harsh to pastors and kind of giving them a little smack, which I do. But honestly, I believe I'm called to do that because I know very few people will do it. And I know God has given me wisdom and a platform, and always has, and has called me into media to be someone who does do that from time to time. And so I will never not do that. Let me give you Steve Bannon, though. He had some words to say. Will we have a republic? MAGA's voice not being heard in it? I mean, he had quite a bit to say, but I'm just going to jump into kind of the middle where he was. Take a listen.
Look at the movies around the HBO miniseries with John Adams, or you look at 1776, you look at all the movies about the Revolution, which there haven't been a ton of, and there particularly haven't been a ton of good ones. If you see that, you are now, in future times, will be a participant. This is why I say you're a combatant. You're a combatant in this fight. And this fight is at a spiritual level. It's at a political level. It's at a legal issues. And you see it all unfolding every day. And we've got some very turbulent times before us. Think downrange for a second. I think Caroline's Dr. Swain really teed it up today. Will we even have a republic on the 250th anniversary? I think that question can be on the table. I think you've seen this of what's happened and what's happened in the past couple of years, and really the removal of Trump from office and everything that's happened, everything that happened, even from him winning in the early morning hours of the 9th of November of the year of our Lord, 2016. We're now what, 7 years, 6.5 years after that? And this fight, every day has been a fight. Every day has been a struggle, as will every day from here on in, and every day in Trump's second term. Remember, it'll be the summer after the first year. 2025 will be the first year of his second term. 2026 will be the second. So the 250th anniversary will be 18 months, roughly, into Trump's second term. Think of it that way. Will we have a republic if he's not returned to office? Will we have a republic if MAGA's voice is not heard?
I'm going to answer that. He doesn't. He's just throwing out the question. Then he just goes on. He doesn't really fully answer that question. He's just throwing out in general. The answer is no, we will not win. I believe we don't even have one right now. I think once we don't have one when our election was overthrown and Trump was overthrown, and they will not allow him to be put back in office. They're looking to put him in jail, and don't be surprised if they do. I can't predict whether they will or won't. I know they really, really want to, and that's what all communist regimes do. All totalitarian regimes do. They take their political opponent that they know will win, and they imprison them. They do that all the time. So it's the obvious play. So we're already overthrown if Trump were to return. But here's the problem. Trump is a political answer. And Steve Quayle says this, and this is profound and extremely wise. There is no political answer to a spiritual problem. Let me say that again. There is no political answer to a spiritual problem. We have a spiritual problem in America. God's judgment isn't whether America's economy, I don't like that it's being destroyed by Biden. You think God's sitting up there worried about whether our economy is good or not? That's all most Republicans seem to care about is our economy going to be good? We need Trump for the economy. They don't even care about the spiritual situation of America. God's judgment comes because we have spiritually fallen. So what hope do we have? Here's the hope. You have to battle spiritually if you want to save America. The problem is a spiritual problem, not a political problem. Don't even worry about. I don't even expect Trump to be allowed to get in. This is why I pound this. I want you to focus on what can be something you can do. And even Trump getting in won't fix it because we still have the spiritual problem. Trump getting in isn't going to make Americans moral. Only getting people saved, doing what God wants you to do in your life, being an example, living for God, that's the only way. Fix it one person at a time, fighting a spiritual battle. That's your only hope. And then here's the best part. If we lose and we can't win, no matter what anyways, and God's judgment's already proclaiming it's going to get blown up, you wage the spiritual battle anyways because you're going to grow and you're getting right with God when you're doing that. And you will be ready and God will be there to protect you through however he does it because you're getting right with God. So either way, it's good for you too. Even if we were to lose everything, if you're getting right with God, you win everything. Even if you were to die, you would still have gotten right with God. You win. If you live, you're the remnant of, if there's a war that happens, God will bring you through. I don't think America will ever be fully conquered. I do think Russia's going to attack us with nuclear weapons. I use biblical prophecy for that. I've been saying it for 12 years or something now. Iran will be there. China, I believe, will be there to invade. And then I think something supernatural will happen. After massive death and destruction from war, I believe supernatural things will happen that the remnant that God has protected will continue to protect and push the enemies off the land. Then I believe the tribulation period may start and America would be possibly a safe haven during that tribulation period or not. I don't know. And I don't know when this will be. The timing, it's not that I'm usually wrong about this stuff, folks. So if you want me to be wrong, you're hoping I'm wrong. I'm usually not wrong. I just never know the timing, and I always think it's going to happen before it really does. So if I think it's going to happen in whatever time, it's always way past that timeline. And then it happens. So I won't even pretend. I've learned. Don't even try to predict the time. I'm terrible at that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. I love you guys. See ya!
Hey guys, don't forget to subscribe and hit that like button.
Hey guys, Conversations That Matter is a show hosted by Alex Newman at thenewamerican.com. This is where he has conversations with a whole bunch of people in interview form, and these conversations are dealing with people that the mainstream media really doesn't want you to hear from, but Alex Newman will interview them and you'll get to hear from them. And these are things that could actually save your life or save our liberty as well. So check out Conversations That Matter at thenewamerican.com.